Welcome back to episode 42 of the Run It Three Ways podcast. This week, we're back with a double race recap from Callum as he was victorious over the Mansfield Mud and made another England cap racing in Seville. Tom's back in the swing of things as he looks to be building fitness with some decent sessions. And I myself am surprisingly enjoying the rehab over here in Kenya, recovering from a stress reaction. How are we, boys? Ready for another podcast?
All right, boys. All right.
Oh, always ready. I'm absolutely knackered, to tell you the truth, but talking to you boys has lifted my spirits exponentially.
Why are you so tired?
Well, I suppose we could talk about it in more detail in next week because this is a Thursday. But yeah, just been a very mental couple of days. I had an event last night, didn't get home until 20 past midnight, but was out doing a session in the morning. And then the day before, I had to do my run at 6 a.m. So I was up at 5:30 and then had to go to Devon. So it's been a couple of big days back to back in terms of traveling and running as well, to be honest. Yeah, my feet are currently up. I'm actually in bed, wrapped up in a blanket. So there you go. Nice little visual for you.
It's pretty cold in the UK at the moment, isn't it? Meg texted me this morning, so it's 5 degrees or something.
Yeah, it's a bit nippy.
Bloody hell, 5 degrees. It's a bit warmer than 5, I think. But oh no, to be fair, 7 degrees. Wow. I didn't realise. Didn't feel that cold when I was outside, actually. We've got some bad wind at the moment, though. I don't know if you've got that, Tom, but it's bloody windy in
wind.
Cambridge.
Yeah, well, we've had some awful wind the last week or so. Yeah, very unpleasant indeed. But how are you, Callum?
Yeah, I'm all good. I'm all good. I was just thinking some context for the listeners. It is a Thursday. We're recording Thursday, the 16th of November, to be exact. And this podcast is basically going to talk about last week. So Monday to Sunday last week, which started on the 6th of November. But we didn't actually record one last week, did we, either? So I guess we may reference some things that are from the last couple of weeks. But yeah, I'm all good. I've been really, similar to you, Tom, I've been really busy just with one thing or another. Loads of just stuff sorting out with work and running and blah, blah, blah. But it's a good time of year to be busy, really, because even though running is important, it's mainly about training rather than racing, even though I have raced a fair bit. So I'd rather be busy now. So when it gets to the indoor and outdoor season, I don't have a million things going on. So, all good with me. Ben, you all right?
I'm doing all right, yeah. The weather here is actually a little bit better today. It's been pretty grim, probably for the last 2 weeks, really. They're going through a bit of a rainy... There's like two rainy seasons in Kenya, and there's like a... The season they're in now is basically a rainy season, but it's not too rainy. So basically at night, it chucks it down with rain. And then you get to about, it's now 3:30 in the afternoon and the sun's out. So you get a bit of a mixture, quite similar to being back home, but the temperature's a little bit warmer. I think today is probably about 18, 19 degrees. So it's quite nice outside at the moment, but I'm doing most of my activities in the gym at the moment. So not that the weather really bothers me. But yeah, snack time here as well, 3:30, so I'm missing out on that. No Kenyan tea and bread and jam for me, so I just have to wait till dinner time. But that's the level of commitment I have for the podcast.
And how's the Wi-Fi? We should probably also preface that, shouldn't we? You say that the Wi-Fi is not tremendous.
Yeah, so unfortunately, there is no Wi-Fi today here in Kenya, or at the camp anyway. So I'm using my cellular data, which... is a little bit hit and miss. Sometimes it can be really good and sometimes it can be non-existent. So I'm hoping we can stay connected for about an hour and have a good chat. But if we cut out, then that's probably why.
Yeah.
Sweet. Without further ado, shall I jump into my week then? Because I've got a million things to talk about.
I reckon so.
So yeah, like I said, this week was started November the 6th, but the day before on the 5th of November, also known as Bonfire Night, in fact, that's a complete lie. It was the 4th of November when I raced the Saturday. That was Mansfield. So some people may have seen some of the footage from that. If you don't know about the event, it's basically cross-country relay race. The loop is about 5 kilometres and there's four people in a team. One of you runs it at a time. The first team to complete all four legs wins. Pretty simple concept. But when you throw into the mix the hills, the mud, the terrible rainy cold conditions... the fact that you don't know who's doing what leg order and who's the strongest and weakest, it is actually a really, really exciting event. It pretty much delivers every year. There's never a clear runaway winner. And if there is, there's normally a good battle for second or third. And this year it worked out that there was a really close battle for first and second. And there was a really close battle for third and fourth as well. So on the men's side, at least. So yeah, that was a good race. Nice distance for me, 5K really. It's kind of like not long enough to be too much of an issue on my endurance. I can kind of get away with it. Still pretty good at the distance, which is good. Ran a decent leg, one of the fastest of the day. And it came down to pretty much a sprint finish. So without going into massive detail, that's kind of a little snapshot of the week. If you want to find out more about that, there's a couple of videos on YouTube of different people, Mark Hookway in particular, who's filmed pretty much the whole race in different bits. And it's quite exciting to follow along, actually. So by all means, give that a go. And shout
I ended up watching the live stream, actually. That was pretty good. I couldn't believe you won it, to be honest with you. I think, I don't know, after the second leg, I couldn't see a Cambridge vest. So I was like, oh, no, what's going on here? And then suddenly Jack Gray pulls out how many positions did he pick up on that third leg?
Yeah, quite a few, probably about 10 positions, I would say, something like
unbelievable.
That.
Unbelievable, yeah.
Yeah, we just stacked our team basically from kind of slowest to fastest-ish, or we're basically legs 3 and 4, me and Jack were the strongest legs based on current fitness. So we were always going to be behind a bit on leg 1 and 2, although Tom and Jep still ran really well, to be fair. Because a lot of teams, especially if you don't have a strong four, you do it the other way around. So you'll have your strongest runner to do first leg to make sure they can just get what they need from it, have a good run out. Leg 1's normally quite fast because you don't have to overtake slower people or anything like that. It's a bit easier.
More of a race, I guess, because you've got people to chase. Whereas when it gets spread out, it's not as easy.
Exactly. And there's some teams that go, so like Joe Wigfield from Wirral, for example, he didn't even have a team of four. He was the only one there, but he really wanted to do it, so he just went and did leg one. So it's it's no disrespect to Tom and Chet that they were a bit further down, but we just gradually, as the race goes on, the better teams kind of surface to the top. And it was exciting for me because, I mean, I got given it in second, only literally like 100 metres or something behind the guy from York who I knew wasn't that good, so I could easily pass him. But then Will Barnico, who's probably the standout performer of the day, and had just run, you know, he ran maybe 25 seconds faster than me at the previous road relays 3 weeks before, he got it 15 seconds behind me. So basically the whole way round, the key was just closing the gap on me. Everyone was, you know, started off by being, oh, you've got 15 seconds, then it'd be, you've got 13 seconds. Then it eventually got down to being like, you've got 3 or 4 meters or whatever.
Yeah.
But I just knew I needed
to win. It was very exciting to watch, I must admit.
Yeah, it was good. It was one of them where it was like, I knew I had to work hard enough that he was going to be really tired by the time he did catch me. And I knew he would catch me at some point, because when you're chasing someone, you do like, you just go crazy until you catch them, basically. You don't really think too much about pacing it. And obviously, Will is a top athlete. If people don't know him, he's Euro under 20 cross country champion, Euro under 23 bronze medalist, I think, for 5K, or silver medalist for 5K. And a really nice lad as well, runs for Puma. So yeah, he basically caught me with maybe about 500 meters to go or 400 meters to go. He was literally right behind me, and I kind of accepted, right, I know he's going to catch me. So I kind of dropped down to start going a little bit slower, and I was like, right, I'm just going to conserve my energy, and if he chooses to go past me, all I've got to do is stay on him and then I can outkick him. And he basically just like came right next to me, and I was like, right, okay, I'm just going to literally just like look at him until he starts sprinting, and then when he starts sprinting, I'm just going to sprint quicker, basically.
It doesn't matter
about your time or anything, you just got to run it like as tactically as possible. I'm glad that I did go pretty hard, because if I didn't go any harder, he would have caught me. He wouldn't have been so tired when he caught me, and he probably could have gone straight past me. But he was basically, he said afterwards, he was like, yeah, I was like absolutely knackered from trying to catch you. So when I did catch you, I had nothing left to kind of kick with. So yeah, it worked out well for me, but I'm glad I had a bit of a head start, that's for sure.
Definitely. I was never in any doubt when it came down to the closing sort of few meters. I was like, okay, here we go. As soon as that camera angle changed from like the last few bends to the like finishing straight, you just see Callum just absolutely dart for the line. I'm like, oh yeah, there's no doubt that he's got the win here. So yeah, it's good. It's a good one to watch.
In cross country, though, it's just weird because like when you, obviously the faster you're going, the higher your chances of falling flat on your face are. So like even when you sprint and you get a gap, like you could fall at any, do you know what I mean, at any point. So you literally can't celebrate until you get to the line. So yeah, anyway, that was a bit of a ramble, but that was the Saturday race. Now into the week of training, which is very self-explanatory, to be honest, because this rolled straight into another race that I had the following Saturday. So only a couple of days ago from when we've recorded, which was a 10K cross-country race in Spain. So with a lot of travel and stuff, this week was basically just about having a hard race stimulus, recovering, keeping a little bit of intensity, and then getting another hard race stimulus, basically letting the racing serve as the training. So to fly through that, Monday I had 7.5 miles with strides in the morning. Did that all on the grass pretty much. And then I doubled in the evening where I did 4.5 miles at 8:10 per mile. That was with Alice. So that was Monday. Tuesday, I had a session, just a light session really. So a bit of a longer warm up and cool down. And then my session was just 6:54321. So that's minutes. So 6 minutes, 5 minutes, etc. Off 60 seconds rest. And that started at about 4:50 per mile. So that's what, like 3 minutes a kilometer. And then worked down to about 4:25-ish by the 1 minute. It was really windy and I was by myself, but not a particularly hard session really. Once you get kind of the 6 and the 5 minute out of the way, you know, all the reps get pretty short and snappy. So it was about 5 miles of volume in total at what I averaged 5:07s with the rest. So yeah, pretty good with that. Again, that was just to kind of keep ticking over. Nothing too crazy. Then that Tuesday evening, I flew out to Holland. I had a meeting with a management company on the Wednesday, so I had to go out there on Tuesday night. So on Wednesday, I ran in the morning. I did 7.88 miles at 6:46s. This was before breakfast as well. I never usually run before breakfast. That was a bit brutal. And then in the afternoon, I did 4 miles at 6:43s. Again, around this pretty nice forest, actually. It was quite a lovely place to run. A bit cold, but it was nice. That was Wednesday. And then Thursday, I was still in Holland before I flew back. I just did 6 miles plus strides before I kind of flew back. And then Thursday night, I doubled again, 3.38 miles at 6:50s. So basically, a summary of the week so far was just easy running plus one pretty small session. And then Friday morning, I flew out to Spain. So literally got back from Holland Thursday afternoon and then was back at the airport Friday morning to fly to Spain with the England team. Got there reasonably late and did 7 miles, just easy running. Nothing really to report. Saturday, went to the course and did my normal pre-race. So about 4 miles plus strides. This was an important pre-race, actually, because the course was really weird. It was bone dry because I don't know if this is a fact, but apparently Seville is like the hottest city in Europe on average temperatures over the course of a year or something. But anyway, it was bone dry. But where they had this course, it's on like old Roman ruins. It's at like a site of like historical significance. So some of the course was literally on like stones. It was like almost like paving essentially. But then some of it was on this really kind of long uneven grass surfaces where you really wouldn't want shoes, basically. So the toss-up was either you wear spikes and you have half the course where you're loving it on this grass and woodland section and you can take the turns really nicely and, you know, no concerns, but then your spikes are going to be banging into the rock for some of the other part, or the other way around, where obviously on the grass you're going to be like almost falling over in your super shoes, but you'll get the benefit on the harder sections. So the pre-meet was quite important to test out the shoes and walk/run the whole course and find out, you know, what would be appropriate. In the end, I went for shoes, which I think was a good decision. I think my feet would have been ruined from spikes, to be honest. Plus I probably would have broken whatever spikes I ran in. So that's what I went with. And this brings us to Saturday, the day of the race. No, it doesn't. Sorry. This brings us to Sunday, the day of the race. It was called the International Cross d'Italica, which is weird because it's not in Italy, it's in Spain. So it's a bit of a misleading name, but it's to do with the Roman ruins and it being all Italian and that. Sick event, by the way, like really, really good. It was gold label cross country, so it's, you know, they get a fair bit of funding to put it on. There were some really top athletes there. The field was seriously stacked. I mean, Mo Katir, who's run, 12:42, 12:45 or something like that for 5K. He ended up finishing fifth. So that shows you how deep the field is. Machal, again, Oscar Chelimo was 10th and he's run.
Yeah. He won athlete.
Yeah, he's with On now. He won bronze at the Oregon World Championships, so not last year, the year before, the one where Whiteman won. He won bronze in the 5K there behind Jakob and some other geezer, and he finished 10th. So that shows you how crazy the field was. I ran well, 23rd. I kind of didn't have a clue what I would be like over 10K because this was my longest race since February. So what's that? February to November. That's quite a few months, isn't it? That's kind of like 8 months. So I really didn't know, one, what sort of shape I was in, two, how to pace it, whatever. So I just said, and I said to Nick, my coach, I just like, let's just use it as like basically a gauge of where I am. So I went out, in retrospect, I went out harder than I should have, but for all I know, like I could have handled that pace. I didn't really know. So I went out pretty hard, faded at 5K. I was like, right, fuck, I've gone too hard here. Definitely. So the third lap, it was four laps. I was like, okay, third lap, just dial it back a little bit and try and settle down into like a new rhythm, basically, where you let a few people go past and just kind of like, you know, if you keep going at this pace, you're not going to finish, essentially. And yeah, for like the last 3K, I was like, okay, this is really hard now. I kind of want to stop, but I kept going. And I still finished pretty well. Not that many people passed me, to be fair, in the second half. Finished in 23rd, 31:15, I think it says that. Yeah, 31:15, which on that course was really good because it was boiling hot and there was like 480 feet of climbing, I think, which over 10K is quite a lot. So pretty hilly course. And yeah, decent hit out, good race stimulus. Prepares me well for Liverpool, which is in just over a week of recording, but 2 weeks from the day of this race, where it'll be, what, 5 degrees instead of 23 degrees, and it'll be flat, not hilly, and it'll be really muddy, not dry. So I say it prepares me well. It's a totally different type of race. But from a confidence perspective, it's really good to be like, okay, I needed to get a longer distance race in of a 10K to be like, okay, this is how it feels. And importantly, really make myself suffer of being like, okay, normally when I'm used to doing 1500s and miles and stuff that I've been doing, or even like the 5K, the time period that you spend finding it hard is not very long in duration. So even in a 5K, if you find it hard for 5 minutes, it's only 5 minutes where you have to like push through that mental battle of being like, okay, don't give up, keep going, stay on your pace. Like that, it's easy to get through 5 minutes. Whereas if you get a 10K wrong, which I sort of did, and for the whole of the second half, I was thinking, ah, damn, this is really hard. That's like 15 or 16 minutes of pain that you've kind of got to talk yourself through. So of course, I'll have physiological benefits, but also I think mainly mental to be like, okay, when I'm racing at Liverpool in 2 weeks, when it starts to really get hard, I can recall this and be like, cool, you've done it. It's kind of like had a dress rehearsal. I can't really see it feeling that, you know, too much harder than what this did. So I'm glad I chose to do something like this over, say, like the Cardiff cross country that was the same weekend or whatever, because great experience, great people to run against, and importantly, a really, really hard race, which is what I needed, because yeah, I've just been doing fun road miles and only having to run for 4 or 5 minutes at a time, which unfortunately isn't the best preparation for longer distance stuff.
Must have been horrible though, because like you say, on looking at your warm-up on Strava, where it's got the temperature, you mentioned it already, but yeah, it says 21, feels like 21 degrees and like no wind whatsoever. Maybe four kilometers an hour wind, it says. So that's it, by how dry that course looks as well. It must have been pretty savage.
Yeah, like, it was exposed. The heat was bad. It was also like the specifics of the course was really weird. So like you'd have these really long downhills and then at the bottom of the downhill, there'd be literally like a right angle turn, 90 degree turn straight up a hill. And like over 10K, you can't imagine how hard that is, where like you're bombing it down a hill with your quads getting beat up. You then almost have to take a dead stop at the bottom of the hill, turn and then restart all your energy to go back up a hill. So, I mean, to run almost 5 minute miling, I did not feel like I was running, you know, whatever I've run, 5:04 a mile. I did not feel like I was running that pace. It felt like so much slower in the second half. So I think that's a really good sign to be like, okay, that's actually, you know, I'm probably in, you know, very low 29, high 28 minute 10K shape based off that, on that sort of course. So yeah, it's a weird one for me because I've been used to winning the road mile stuff and doing this, doing that. It's been a while since I've finished like quite low down in a race, but you have to kind of remember the caliber of the race and tell yourself, right, like, you know, there's a reason you did it. It's for a bigger training effect. It's because you're building towards bigger things, that sort of stuff. So yeah, it's a weird one to kind of reframe your thinking with, but yeah, very pleased with it.
Yeah. And anything happen afterwards? Any nice little moments with other athletes, or were you just straight home?
No, we had to fly back the same day. So we raced Sunday and then I flew back that evening. So I literally got back. I was destroyed. When I say this, like, I was absolutely destroyed. This is what I mean about how, like, I think I've just got the balance right of smashing myself, but not smashing myself enough that I'm like ill or injured or anything like that. Basically, yeah. I was like, you know, when I was for the last lap, right? So 2.5K, I was freezing cold, which is like the main sign of heat stroke. I finished and I had goosebumps. All my hairs were standing on end on my arms. I was like actually freezing.
Yeah, that's not great.
Yeah. So I clearly like cooked myself. So afterwards I just got back, like laid on my bed, managed to shower and pack my stuff. And then, scrammed a spag bowl from the hotel bar. And I felt all right again.
Spag bowl to the rescue.
Yeah. Was it a good one? Or
not a bad spag bowl, although shout out to Ellis Cross, who he was on an earlier flight than me, who left early without remembering to pay his tab at the bar. So that was a burger and a latte that we had to sort out for him.
Good job, Ellis.
But yeah, no, I'm pleased with that. It's really good. Kind of my when I went to Holland and sort of chatted with sort of my new management and stuff, we're talking about the indoor season and like what we can do with it and making it a priority. And basically, with them, along with my coach, we've come to a conclusion that let's just spend the rest of 2024, at least the next kind of month, 2023, sorry, or at least the next month, like hammering the longer stuff, like really try and, you know, focus on 10K type distances, focus on longer tempos, hills, like, you know, main strength stuff. And then let's have a really good go at the indoor season and try and get the world indoor time. So that basically means that in February, I need to run like 3:52 for the mile, basically 3:53 for the mile, which is going to be really hard. So I need to make it count now and not get distracted by short-term goals like, you know, the Liverpool short course team or, you know, doing this, doing that, or, you know, like a podium 5K or whatever. I've just got to keep my head down, accept that I might not get much glory or kind of like get to win many races for the next month, and get in some hard work. And then hopefully it'll pay off in February time when I get the good results indoors. But as you'll know yourself from running, it's harder to train when you're not getting like the immediate gratification of fast times or PBs or that sort of stuff. So yeah, just trying to stick to my guns and remember the long-term vision at the moment.
Yeah, nice one. Nice.
Before we move on, Callum, how did selection for this race sort of go ahead? Because you mentioned it's a 10K race, you're not really a 10K runner. So like, What was the selection? Did you do a race and you got selected to represent England, or was it because you represented them before? What was the sort of the reason behind doing this one?
Yeah, you just get picked. So I've run for England for cross country before, and I've run really well. I've come, you know, top. What, I came like seventh at the national cross, which is over 11.5K or something like that. So I say, relative to my standards, I'm not a 10K runner. As in, my focus right now is 1500 mile racing, but like, you know, I've come top 10 in the country at cross country. I got one of the top 5 fastest times at Mansfield. Like, I have a good cross country pedigree. So when England are picking their teams, they're looking for people that can run well at the individual event, but ultimately it's a development event. All England team events are development events. They're not picking people to go and have to get points and win some sort of team prize. So whenever you see someone running for England on the road or cross country, whether that be marathon or 5K or whatever, the point of England Athletics is to try and be a development platform for people to then go and represent Great Britain. And
right,
that's regardless of distance. So if you see someone represent them for the marathon, the point is, okay, England will fund you to go and do this marathon, to give you some support going to do it, give you the experience of like being an elite runner, with the hope that you will learn from that experience / get to the performance level that you can then go to major championships for Great Britain. That's kind of the whole performance pipeline. So for us in this, the people that were picked is kind of like, one, you had to express your interest. So you had to say, yeah, like, I'd like my name in the hat for this race. So it, like, some people will have preferred to do Cardiff or another race. And then when they pick the selection, they're looking at people that they can provide a good platform for to then push on to make a GB team, or if it's going to aid them to try and make, say, the Euro cross country team in 2 weeks at Liverpool. So that's kind of how they go about the selections of the teams.
Yeah, that makes sense.
There's never like any trials or set things for England teams, really.
Gotcha. Nice one. Sweet. Yeah, it was good. I watched that one as well. Not had a lot to do over here in Kenya, so I ended up watching that full live stream as well, and it was very well filmed, actually. Well, I'd expect it for a gold label, but yeah, you could follow the race pretty easily, which is always quite difficult for a cross country race. But they must have had like 10, 15 cameramen, so that was a good one. If you want to go watch that live stream, I'm sure it's up there somewhere.
Yeah,
but, so yeah, that's, nice one.
That's my week, 72 miles, which is pretty good. So I didn't have a long run because I raced on Sunday. So yeah, stacking him up nicely, feeling strong. Got a bit of a cold that I need to get rid of, but hopefully by Liverpool next week, I should be all systems firing.
And what is Liverpool, just for the listeners?
That's the European cross country trials. So you have, long story short, you have under 20 race, and then you have the senior races, which include under 23s. The top six under 23s in the race will make the GB team for the European cross country. The top six seniors in each race will make the GB senior team for cross country. It's as simple as that. You can go into it and be nobody. If you finish in the top six, you make the team. You can go in it and be the favourite. If you finish seventh, you don't make the team. It's like just a one-off trial race, basically.
And what's the goal with that race for you? To try and get in the top six, obviously, or?
Yeah, it's hard. Like it is the most stacked cross-country race of the year. To try and make that team is notoriously hard. A lot of people will, like, I have the option to do the short course, but like I just explained with indoors, like, I don't want to get distracted by doing another one mile race to then qualify and then in 2 weeks do another 1 mile race. Like, I've just done all this road mile stuff. I need to just get my head down with some longer training and think about what's going to be more beneficial in February. So, yeah, I'm going to go and give the 10K my best crack. I think there's not six people that are nailed on. There's probably two or three people that are nailed on to make it. But I'll just run hard and try and stay in the top six as long as I can, basically. Mm-hmm. And if I die at some point, I die. If I make the team, then fantastic, senior GB team. So it's a bit of a free hit, really, which is a nice position to be in because you don't have any pressure or anything. It's a nice one to go and just have a smash yourself up for 10K, basically.
Do it all again. So, yeah, it sounds to me like you've got like more long-term plan with that race. That's more of like a training, not a training race, but you have your goals set for the indoor season, so there's no point doing your favored mile distance and making a team when it would kind of interrupt the rest of your training.
Yeah, so basically it'd be fun, of course, and like I'll be sat, if I don't make the team, I'll be sat there a bit depressed that weekend being like, oh, this is annoying, I could have made that relay team potentially. But again, would I rather sit at home one weekend and think, okay, that's a shame I've missed out on that race, but in June, if I get picked to go to the European Outdoor Championships and make my first track team, like, I'll be absolutely buzzing. So you've just got to think a bit more long mindset. And I've got the time for that, for the Outdoor Championship. So there's no trial. It's literally in the selector's hands as to whether I get picked. So I kind of need to perform at the indoor season to show my current form and to try and give myself a one-up over all the other Brits that are trying to make those teams. Which again is easier said than done because they've all run 3:31. So yeah, a bit of a longer term mindset with it. So the plan at the moment is to do Liverpool, which is in 2 weeks, and then if I qualify, obviously do the European Championships. But if I don't qualify, I'll probably do the Telford 10K, which I know a lot of guys are planning on doing that as their kind of backup race as well. So that could be really exciting because I'm due a 10K PB because I've not done one for about 4 years. So that could be exciting.
Nice one.
Sweet. That's a long update from me, boys. So over to you. Let me know what's the crack.
No, more a very justified long update, I think, based with all the travel and all the racing you've been up to. I enjoyed that. It was good.
Oh, thanks a lot. Who's going next?
I can rattle through my week if you like, because it shouldn't take too long. I can't actually remember anything about this week. hopefully.
That's a good start.
Hopefully some things will come back to me as I go.
Have you had any caffeine in the last couple of hours, Tom? Maybe you need a coffee, something like that.
Yeah, do you know what? I haven't. So I'll struggle through this, but it should be okay.
Have you managed to get yourself at least some food in your lunch break?
No, I haven't yet. I can't even remember what I
had. So you are literally running on empty.
I'm a bit of a mess at the moment, to tell you the truth. But
he's in bed. Give yourself a slap in the face and try and get through your week.
I had two bagels for breakfast. There you go.
That'll do.
Avocado and peanut butter and banana on the other one. So not together, obviously. Separate bagels.
Bagels get a bit of stick these days, don't they?
On what? Do they?
Yeah, because they're
who's
like
giving bagel stick?
They're like the, oh, classic, come with me for a 10K run.
Oh, right.
I started off with 60 bagels and then I ran a ultra marathon, that sort of thing. Yeah.
If you're giving bagels stick, you need to get a life. I'm sorry, they're a food. Why are you having to go out of food?
It's just they're a bit of like a trend, I guess. Craze.
Yeah, like Gary House. What's your opinion on Gary House, guys?
Oh, yeah, he just goes in hard on anyone.
Yeah, I like him. I think some of his videos are better than others, but that's the same with any person who makes any kind of content, right? Some of it's great, some of it's not. But I think the stuff that's good, like I've had a fair few little giggles to his videos. And I find
the majority of his content pretty funny, but then some of it is like, oh, Jesus, that was a little bit too far, maybe.
Yeah. What do you think, Callum, since you asked?
Yeah, see, it's interesting because I was in the camp that you've just said originally, because I don't follow him, but I see all the viral ones because show up or whatever, or people share them on the story. And some of them I was like, oh, like class, like this guy's had like the odd go at like an influencer, or like that's a really clever joke. But then I looked at his profile and just like every single video now he's just ripping into influencers or whatever. So it's like actually he is now, you know, his brand is now ripping off influencers. So he's actually an influencer. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah,
he's kind of like gone too far that he's now joined the other side and he's doing reviews of like Pure Sport Balm. It's like, well, hang on a minute. How can you be like taking the piss out of influencers for rolling something on the leg, but then you're doing a YouTube video where you're actually reviewing the product seriously? Do you get what I mean? It's kind of like, but you know, he's clearly like absolutely like stroked the algorithm to perfection. He's got 100K followers and I'm sure he gets a lot of coaching clients from it. So good on him. And I don't know him personally. I'm sure he's a cracking lad. Just my two cents.
Yeah, I met Gary ages and ages ago before he like really did much on Instagram, I think. But yeah, he's like you say. I think the stuff that I like the most is the you've seen the ones where he's like getting ready to go for a run with someone, and then it like cuts to the influencer doing their
It's
like before I get going, I've just got to get some electrolytes down me and do some activation.
Take a 10-hour ice bath.
Yeah, all of that stuff. Those are good. So this is Gary House _ on Instagram. If anybody's sitting here thinking, who the fuck is Gary?
If you follow him, tell him we sent you.
Anyway, my week started on Tuesday, November the 7th. So I went to the gym on Monday and was a bit leggy on this run. And what did I have? Just a easy 5 miles plus strides. So 4:40. Something average, nothing really to write home about there. And then I didn't run Wednesday because I had to go to Devon early to shoot Christmas, which we're running a bit late at Pro Direct when it comes to Christmas, because we should have shot this back in bloody August or something, to be honest. But anyway, I had the pleasure of going down to the Torquay seafront to shoot a Christmas campaign.
Very nice.
Yeah, that's, it was all right.
Is that in Devon, Torquay?
It is indeed. Yeah, it's that way, indeed. Isn't it? I really hope this doesn't offend anybody who lives in Torquay. I think there's some nice bits.
Shithole, is it a shithole?
Oh god.
Just say it how it is, mate.
I had to walk, right? So I had to get some food and snacks and water and stuff for people. And this was maybe 8 o'clock at night at this point. I walked through the town centre and I did fear for my life a little bit. Now, I'm not, you know, I don't have the most commanding stature as I walked through a town centre. I'm probably quite an easy target or a victim for someone if they chose to. But I did feel a bit scared in Torquay going to Sainsbury's just to get some sandwiches and stuff. So, that wasn't ideal. But it was just a long day, to be honest. Like, you know, when it's this cold outside, that's what gets you the most, I think. When you're outside from sort of 10 in the morning until 10 at night and it's, you know, 10 degrees, maybe a bit colder. Your lips get dry and just feel a bit fucked, basically. So that's how I was feeling. Got back to the hotel in Devon about 11:30. And then I had a session to do the next morning. Otherwise, I just wasn't going to get it done. So I don't love that where you're running on less than ideal sleep and then you've got to get out the door in unfamiliar territory and get a session done. But yeah, I suppose the biggest thing this week to mention is that you put it in the show notes, I think, Ben, back with Andy now, back with Hobdell, being
I
coached
did
by
think
Andy
so. I
Hopgood.
saw a few of your sessions probably this week and thought, oh, that looks like a Hobsall session to me. I reckon Tom is back on the old on the horse.
So this is actually the first week. This was the first week I was back with Andy. I messaged him, probably a week before that, just saying, look, I'm starting to feel good on these long runs. Like, I'm by no means fit, but you know, I can get rolling a bit towards the end of these long runs and stuff and feel pretty decent. So it's probably about time to get a bit of structure back in the mix. This was my first Hobdell session. And I did this around the Brunel Industrial Estate in Newton Abbot, which, I mean, I wouldn't recommend anybody going to, but it is really, really good for sessions. I did a run around here last year at some point, I think, or beginning of this year. It's a really nice little loop. So
Newton
the
Abbot's
session.
world class for horse racing as well. I've won a fair few pennies me before, by the way. I can only assume it's the same Newton Abbot.
Yeah, it must be like
I swear I've been there, but I can't remember what for.
I don't know why you would go there, to be perfectly honest,
Oh
but
yeah,
maybe
I've
just
just
driven
Googled
through
it. It is, yeah, Newton Abbot. That's the one.
it. The Premier Inn that I stayed in is right next to a horse racing thing as well. So there you go.
What do you
We
mean
might
by
have.
a horse racing thing? What do you mean, like the
I don't
racetrack?
know. I don't watch horse racing or really know anything about it, but there's a
He
green
doesn't want to
patch
talk
of
about
grass
it.
with
He's
like a
vegan.
course around it.
Yeah, he's vegan actually. It's true.
Anyway, let's move on from that. The session was similar to one that you mentioned, actually, Callum, that you did
Oh, sorry.
last week.
I've just looked up the Premier Inn. It is right next to the race
Yeah,
course. Yeah, you're
it
right.
is.
Yeah. Sorry.
He's not
Anyway,
lying. Fact check.
it needs a bit of love, that Premier Inn, but there is a Beefeater on the premises and a Tesco
Oh,
directly
what a
opposite.
classic.
So, you know. Session 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 minutes off just a 200-meter jog.
That's Callum session, isn't it? He's just done Callum session.
That's what I said. Yeah, it's basically the exact same. Only you started at six, didn't you?
Yeah, I did 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
We won't worry about that.
Almost, almost.
Pace wise, there was no real prescribed pace for this. It was like start around like current 10K feel and work down to about 5K feel, which I don't know. I don't know if it's accurate, but I went for the 5 minutes. It was like 3:30s, like high 3:30s. Similar for the 4 minutes. Actually, the exact same for the 4 minutes. I just got the splits up. So 3:37, and then 3:32 for the 3 minutes, 3:25 for the 2 minutes, and 3:14 for the 1 minute at the end. So nothing crazy, but felt all right, really. But the most memorable part about this run is I did it with one of my best pals from work, Ben. He's one of those guys who's just sort
Work
of,
friends.
oh, work friend, oh, work friend, Ben. He's one of those guys who's just good at running. Like, he doesn't have to, like, you know, he's not breaking any world records, but he's just one of those guys who can not run for a couple of months and then go out and do 10 miles at like 4:30K pace or whatever. And he ran Cologne Marathon. I think he ran like sub 3:30 or something. So, you know, decent runner, and he's well under 20 minutes for 5K. So, because he lives really locally, he asked if he could tag along, and yeah, obviously more the merrier, really. And
So you had a
he
bit of
may,
company.
I did, but not for long, because I about 30 seconds into the 4 minute rep, I just heard a voice of desperation from behind me saying, "Tom, I'm gonna shit myself," and
Oh
it was
no.
like, it was such a sad voice. It was like a little puppy that's just been rescued and taken to a, you know, like a cats and dogs home. It was really quite tragic. And this industrial estate, there's nowhere to hide. Like, if you're going to shit yourself, there are no bushes, there's no little alleyways. It is literally just barbed wire and corrugated iron buildings. Like, it was, yeah, not an ideal situation to desperately need the toilet. So he ended up having to just sort of stand and crouch over and clench with all of his being. So every time I went round this loop, I would just see him at different points, like hands on knees, trying not to poo himself. And then he tried to join me for another one of the reps and had to pull it again. But then he did successfully complete the last minute with me. So his session looked a little bit different.
I love
But
that.
yeah.
Credit for him
Oh, it
to
was
keep
good.
trying.
Yeah, it was good. I couldn't stop laughing on like the last three reps were a struggle purely because I just kept remembering his voice and then just seeing him pop up around the loop. But yeah, that was all right. Decent little session. Not too much to write home about. And I'm still only running 4 days a week at the moment. I think just because that's what I have been doing. Andy doesn't want to suddenly ramp up to 7 days and doubles and all this and that and the other. So,
yeah, it's. I just remembered that session you did. Andy actually replied to my story of my 6-5-4-3-2-1, basically taking the piss out of me because I only did one set. He was like, "You only did one set of that." He was like, "Should be two." I was like, oh, "Sound, Andy." I was like, "Cheers, thanks a lot."
Bless him.
Yeah, funny. Anyway,
but yeah, the next run was November the 11th. So I'm losing track of days because there's a day between each of these runs, and I can't remember when that session was. Now was that Wednesday? Maybe Wednesday.
I don't know. Just roll with it.
November the 11th. Easy to steady 5 miles. So that's the one thing.
Did you do a minute silence?
No, I didn't. I don't think.
No.
Oh yeah, it was that. Yeah, that day, the big old day. I didn't do a minute. Oh dear me.
Remembrance.
I hope this. Yeah,
Remembrance Day. Sunday.
Remembrance Day. But yeah, the one thing that is an absolute staple, it seems, with Andy is like the implementation of steady running, like a fair bit of steady running. And you'll see in the week that we're currently in, when we record and talk about this week in the next episode, that was confusing. You'll see that like things step up quite a decent notch in terms of sessions and stuff in comparison to this week. But yeah, easy to steady 5 miles. So just a hair over 8K, started 4:45s. Finished at 3:45. So, yeah,
I've been talking to Andy a lot recently, and for various things. And basically, if you survive Andy's training, you become a beast.
Yeah,
basically, because a lot of it is there's not much easy running.
No.
You're hitting two good sessions a week, and then you're just boosting up the quality with a lot of easy running, which might surprise a lot of people. So you've got fantastic runners. Someone like Ellis Cross, who is a 10K half marathon runner, who is only doing at the moment like 70, 75 miles under Andy's training, which people might be like, well, that's not very much volume for a full-time athlete. But if, 75%, 80% plus of it is at, steady running or faster, then, you are getting in a serious amount of quality. So,
yeah,
I think as long as you build up slowly with it, the fitness is going to come flying back with the stuff you're doing.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so just for context, like, the week that we're in at the moment, it's like a steady run, like a progression run, two sessions, and then a long run, and that's it. So there's basically no easy running apart from the start of the progression run and maybe, like half of the long run or like all of the long run if I'm tired or whatever. So yeah, he's a big proponent of that sort of steady state type effort and just getting the quality sessions in. But like you say, the volume is low enough that you can still recover from it, which I suppose is the most important thing. But that brings us to Sunday, which was just 70 minutes. So a bit less than what I've done the last couple of weekends. But again, I think that's just testament to Andy. He's not constantly just trying to bump you up and get you to do more and more running. He actually got me doing less than I was doing before. So 70 minutes with Chris, awful weather. Awful bloody weather, just wet and miserable and grey and dark and all of the things that come with winter running, I suppose. So yeah, that's 15K. Started really easy on this, but 4:32 average. First couple of K were outside 5 minutes and then got rolling a bit towards the end and felt quite good. And that was the week. How much was that? Yeah, 42K. So yeah, just
not bad.
Great stuff.
Just stacked together a few of those like 40, 45-ish K weeks now. This week, probably going to be a little bit more than that, I think, with the sessions that are in it. And then just, keep on trucking from there, I suppose.
Are you feeling like you want to do more at the moment? Like, are you getting to the end of a 70-minute run and thinking, oh, I wish I could do 90? Or are you thinking that's probably about right for where you're at?
I think more so than like wanting to do extended duration or extended distance on like any given day, it's more just wanting to run more days in the week. So hopefully, I don't know what Andy's planning, but hopefully next week it'll be up to like 5 days maybe, just because I find it hard, like, doing the one day on, one day off thing, because you sort of, like you'd have been able to tell from recapping this week, you lose track of time a little bit. And if you only have to run 4 days a week, you can get a little bit lazy, I think, and, like, just not run a day or not run 2 days in a row because you don't need to. Whereas I think once you get to 5 days and you've got that structure that Andy provides, then, you know, you've sort of got to do it in that order that he prescribes. Otherwise, you know, you're doing your strides, but then you're having a day off and then you're doing an easy run the next day. That doesn't really make the most amount of sense compared to doing your strides, then the session the next day, and then an easy day, if that makes sense. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to running more, but at the moment, I'm not, like, desperate to run an extra 5K on the end of my long run or whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Class, mate.
Yeah. So, all good in the hood.
Nice one.
Nice developments. Ben, you got any developments for us?
Few developments. Not really that much different from the last time we recorded. So, mainly cross training based at the moment. Well, this week was completely cross training based. Still no running. So I think I've had 3.5 weeks off thus far. But things are going well in terms of not feeling any pain in the affected area when I'm cross training. In terms of the actual training, an interesting stat on my Coros watch says my weekly 4 week intensity distribution is 83% easy, 17% medium, and 0% hard. So I've never seen my watch say that I've done 0% hard training before. Usually I sit around like 80% easy, 20% hard, something like that. So everything has sort of shifted into the medium category.
What are you clicking to get that? I'm going to see what mine's saying. Oh, I've got it here.
If you click training load and then scroll up.
Is this your 4 week intensity, yeah?
Yeah, 83, 17, 0.
I've got 62, 13, 25.
25, nice. So yeah, that pretty much summarizes what I've been up to. I could go through my week. Shall I do that? I'll try and breeze through it.
I thought you were going to, this is not a criticism, by the way. I'm glad that you've kept sharing it. I thought you were going to private all this shit.
Yeah, I did think about that. And that was the plan. But then after we had our little chat, I decided just to keep things public, mainly because it keeps me accountable. And also I've just learned to take people's comments a bit more on the chin. The reason why I was thinking about doing it is because basically everybody has wanted to give their two pence worth with this, like, a injury period for me, which at first I thought was, I took it a little bit, I don't know, it was a little bit tough for me to keep reading comments of people being like, oh, when I got injured, it took me a year to get back to running. Or another person would be like, oh yeah, I had the same injury and I was running the week after. I'm like, oh, there's just so many, like, contrasting opinions. I've basically started reading any comments or any advice from, I don't know, just a random bloke on the internet, and just cracked on with how my body's feeling. So basically, I'll talk you through a quick week. Mondays have typically been easy.
You say a quick week.
Yeah, I've still been active.
You say a quick week, but you've absolutely hammered the cross training by the looks of your stride.
In terms of the minutes, I've been doing a lot of cross training. I think I've done 16 hours of cross training last week, which I know does sound like I have a lot. But if you think about it in terms of intensity, these are hardly like easy run efforts in terms of intensity. So like Monday, I typically do two easy training sessions. So this Monday, I did 90 minutes of elliptical in the morning, which is a kind of an easy run equivalent of like my 10 miler. That I would have been doing if I wasn't injured. Did a little bit of strength training, Kenyan core in the afternoon. I've been doing the core sessions here 3 times a week, which has been really good to get stuck in with. I think it's going to really benefit me when I do get running again, because I think that's one of my weaknesses, especially as a marathon long distance runner. In marathon races, I get like 20 miles in and then my core starts to get a little bit tight and fatigued, more so than maybe my legs do. So it's good to get that in the routine. And then on Monday evening, did the 30 minutes easy bike as well. So yeah, easy day on Mondays. On Tuesday, I've still been trying to keep to my similar structure to what I would have been doing before injury. So Tuesdays would typically be a track workout for me. So I've moved these from obviously running to either the elliptical or the bike. And on this Tuesday, I did 5 sets of 6 minutes, 3 minutes with 90 seconds recovery. And yeah, heart rate sort of goes into the 160s. I managed to get it into the 170s towards the end of the reps, but mainly a tempo sort of effort on the bike and the elliptical. It's quite hard to get your heart rate up like you do when you're out running. And also at the moment in my training, I don't really want to be doing stuff that's too intense because I want to focus in on giving the bone as much well as little pressure going through it as possible. So I've been focusing on the tempo reps that are slightly longer in duration rather than the sort of like 1 minute or 30 seconds absolutely thrashing myself. So yeah, that was a Tuesday, the bike session. Wednesday again is an easy day, so elliptical in the morning, bike in the evening with a Kenyan core in between. Then on to Thursday, which I've been doing a bit more of a sort of, I've been calling these under over sessions. So I'll do 10 minutes at sort of more of a tempo effort. So my heart rate is around 155 to 160. And then I'll do 10 minutes slightly more intense, and just alternate between them, sort of like a rolling tempo. That was on the elliptical. And I've kind of been alternating between elliptical session and then bike session, just mainly because to make it a little bit less tedious. Thursday evening did well, easy bike. Then the next day, so that was another easy day, which would have been the Friday. Hour bike in the morning, 30 minutes easy elliptical in the evening with a bit of strength chucked in. Saturday, I've been trying to do a longer session in the gym, but these have been all kept in the easy zone. So this Saturday I did 2 hours on the static bike, average heart
Oh,
rate 131. It's not fun, but you got to get it
God.
done.
Are you concerned at all about, like, when Tom had his injury, we all discussed, like, coming back too fit for how your bones are going to be able to take it? Like, already you're coming back, like, I'm not, you know, obviously you're speaking to professionals, I'm not a professional, but, like, you're coming back 3.5 weeks, you've started running again after, spoiler for the next episode, but you've started running again after what could have been a stress fracture, stress reaction, whatever you want to call it. Are you concerned, or like how do you feel like you're going to take like needing to run at a far slower pace, despite the fact that you've been doing way more training than you were when you were running, if you know what I mean? Like 15 hours a week of cross training, however you want to look at it. And I know you've been away on a training camp, super inspired and stuff, but like that is a lot of training, 15 hours a week, you know?
I know what you mean, but no, to be honest with you, I'm not really that concerned. I think I'm just going to play it by ear a little bit. I'm just treating each day as it comes in terms of like listening to how my body's responding. The main thing
Sorry,
is,
what I mean more is, are you training like this because you're working towards a goal, i.e., you really want to do a marathon at this time and run this PB, and that's why you feel like this is a necessary level of training you need to be doing, or are you just doing this because do you see what I mean? I'm trying to get at like because like what the why is, do you know what I mean?
the why is basically I'm trying to maintain a sort of a base building phase before I start my marathon training for Seville, which is in February. So this Sunday it'll be 14 weeks out. So ideally I'd be looking to start my marathon prep in the next couple of weeks. But obviously things are going to have to be a little bit slower than that. So over this training camp, I'm just trying to do as much like easy base building stuff as I can, so that when I come back, I've still got some sort of baseline fitness. Like obviously I'm not going to be as I don't want to be in a situation where I've like I don't know put on 10 kilos of extra weight. I've never done a session in that period. I'm just trying to maintain basically some level of fitness so that when I come back it should be a little bit easier than having done nothing for 4 or 5 weeks, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I get you. I mean,
It's
yeah.
just been my approach, to be honest with you. I'd wake up and I know it sounds cliche, but I live to train. Like not being able to do anything for a day would absolutely destroy me. So if I can get into the gym and sit on the bike for 2 hours and do an easy, like keep my heart rate in the 130s, just stick along, Then I feel accomplished.
I
Walk
get
out of the
you.
gym.
I get you. This could be a whole episode in itself, but equally, like, that's this sounds so harsh, but that is a problem, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? That it would kill you to not be able to do exercise for a day. Do you know what I mean? That's something that as you grow as an athlete, you're going to have to understand that a rest day is not a bad thing. A rest
Yeah,
day
yeah, yeah. That's
or like.
I'm not saying that.
No. But what I'm saying is like you. So you're building towards Seville Marathon now. So when you start running again, you've got 13 weeks. Like, are you going to just. Surely, like maybe I'm overlooking it. Like, you're not going to be able to get out there and in 4 weeks' time, you're not going to be able to do 20-mile runs and stuff that you're going to need for Seville, right? So is like Seville like supposed to be for a PB? Is it just like a fun
Look,
thing? Just
Seville's
you know what I mean?
Still 14 weeks away, so
yeah.
I'm
But what I mean is,
I'm hoping that I am going to be back doing 20-mile runs in 4 or 5 weeks' time. That's the plan.
Okay. So a month after a stress reaction, you've had 3 weeks with no running for a stress reaction, and in the same amount of time back, you're going to be doing 20-mile runs, marathon pace stuff, trying to run a 2:20 marathon. That's surely like you might pull it off, and I'm not saying you won't get a PB in Seville. I definitely think you will, but like if you put your mind to it, of course you will. But like the development of you as an athlete, surely on paper that's not ringing alarm bells to you that like you've had 4 weeks off with an injury where you couldn't even run at all because one of your bones nearly broke in your leg, and then 2 months or 3 months later of training you're going to do 26 miles as fast as you can. Surely that's not like good, you know, you've got your whole life to run marathons.
I'm glad you brought this up, Callum Bright, because this is, I know it's a difficult topic, right, especially around an injury of severity. It's not like, oh, your hamstring's a bit tight or a bit sore or whatever, you know, bone, anything like bone related, I feel like immediately gets runners scared, right? And I know that Ben, the whole conversation about putting things private on Strava and loads of different opinions and all that kind of stuff, I definitely get it from both sides, like getting infiltrated by all of these different opinions from people, Callum saying this, a comment on Strava saying this, me saying what I'm saying now. Like it's hectic and it's a bit stressful, but I'd be interested to know like who you've been speaking to in terms of you know, getting advice on when to return to running and like the practicalities and the realistic nature of being able to do 20 miles in 4 weeks, because it's like you say, it's one of those where I probably did totally the opposite end of the spectrum to you and didn't get diagnosed for 6 weeks, kept walking, you know, trying to do cross training stuff, making it significantly worse to the point where I then had to take much longer off. The sacrum, it takes much longer to heal anyway, so it is more of a 12-weeker, like just as a fact, as a standard. But for me, like I, you know, when it comes to cross training, it was such a gradual reintroduction, and the running, it was 1 minute on, 1 minute off times three. Whereas in like the last run that you've done, spoiler alert, it was like nine, nearly 10K of volume.
Mm-hmm.
So I think me and Callum are more just concerned as a friend more than anything else, that I don't want to see you, you know, get back to running 20 miles and at a decent clip whilst you're out in Kenya still, and then refracture and set yourself back like an extra additional 3 months.
Yeah, I'm just to clarify, I'm not having a go and whatever. And like,
I'd
love nothing more than for you to get back to the point you're at. My concern is just that, even thinking from like a point of view of being like, look, in the nice way possible, you're not trying to qualify for anything or whatever. Even if you just said, cool, actually, I'm going to do London Marathon, or I'm going to do one that's 2 or 3 months further down the line, it would just be way easier for me to justify in my head, like, oh yeah, my friend said he wants to do, you know, I know what you're like with your training. You're very diligent. You're going to want to do, you know, 22 miles with 15 miles marathon pace. You're going to want to do that 6 weeks before Seville.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that just seems like bonkers right now to say you've done your first run and in 6 weeks' time, you're going to be doing that sort of session. And you probably can do it. Like I've said, I'm not saying it's just your legs just going to fall off. Like, you probably can. And you can probably smash 2:19 at Seville. Like, you're such a talented athlete. It's more the principle to guide you over the next few years of running is that you're not going to be able to keep doing that every time you get an injury, just pulling it out of the bag, and eventually you'll do some serious damage, I would imagine. But yeah, interesting to get your opinions on it, Ben, because you've clearly thought about like why you think you can do it, and there's nothing to say that what I am saying is correct at all. It's just my opinion.
Yeah, definitely. I think the main thing for me is I've just been like listening to my body throughout the process, and I know that's super cliche, but if you think back to when I originally had this pain in my quad, it was never really more than a 2 or 3 out of 10. So for me, it was almost like a precautionary measure to stop the running. which is what I've done. I've taken three and a half weeks off, completely no running, and throughout that period, only for the first sort of 4 or 5 days of having a break, could I feel any discomfort in the affected area. So from that sort of just like listening to how I'm feeling, like to me, the injury hasn't been like you've had a real big blowout, you need to take, I don't know, a 10-week period off, build things back really, really slowly. Like I feel like I've backed things off enough to the point where like I'm comfortable, I'm not in any pain, and I'm ready to see like how things are feeling. So yeah, basically, based on how the injury has developed and how I've recovered thus far, I do see myself getting back into marathon shape for Seville, which is in February, 14 weeks. I mean, to me is a long, long period of time. I'm not expecting to be back like training how I would have been training before, like Boston Marathon or Osaka Marathon that I did last year. But the way I've been training in the gym on the cross training, I'm going to be able to supplement that throughout my training block. So the way I see things progressing is maybe like first few weeks of getting back into running, I can run to 3 or 4 days a week, but still cross train on the days when I'm not running, and then hopefully build things back to a point where I'm feeling confident and fit enough to start doing some sessions, and yeah, long term look towards getting back into marathon training, probably in the start of, I don't know, at the maybe midpoint of January. So I still have a good like 4 or 5 weeks of build into Seville. That's my thinking at the moment. But I'm taking each day as it comes. Like if I go on a run and start feeling a pain, then obviously I'm gonna have to reassess things. But at the moment I'm pain free. Like things are building back nicely. Rehab's going well. I've passed the hop test last week, which was a big thing for me. If I could hop on the affected leg without any pain and no pain in the 24 hours afterwards, then I was okay to give running a go. Started running, and yeah, things are going nicely. So I've got no reason really to not think that I'll be back running marathons in middle of February, if you know what I mean.
And yeah, I've got no doubt you'll be back running marathons. Mine's just about the lasting kind of effects of having a mindset of I can come back from anything. Do you know what I mean? I'm just trying to just say, like, don't feel like you have to. Do you know what I mean? Like, of course, you're super motivated, you want to, but like, just
To be honest, I would
be
rather get
sensible.
re-injured in the marathon. I know this sounds stupid, but I'd rather get re-injured during the marathon block than not give it a go. Like, I'm not just going to sit here and do jack shit because I feel like, oh, that's what everyone's telling me I should be doing. I'm just going to play things by ear and hopefully get myself back into a healthy position going into the next block.
Yeah, which is fair enough, which is fair enough. But also, as a talented runner that's just starting out in their running career, I would elevate your mindset and think, actually, if I've got ambitions of wanting to get England vests or run these amazing marathon times and do whatever, like sometimes you have to have a bit more of a long game in mind and just jumping from, you know, it's, oh, if I get injured, fine. Well, it's not fine. If you get injured again, like you shit, you hated it 4 weeks ago when you first couldn't run. Do you know what I mean? Like you don't want
Yeah,
to feel
yeah.
like. You don't want to feel like that again. Like, I know you're motivated. I know you want to run, all that sort of stuff. And like I've prefaced the whole time, no doubt you will. And touch wood that this conversation is completely irrelevant. But I would hate that if I have to sit on the podcast and tell you that you did a great 20-mile run in 3 weeks' time, I'd be lying because I'd be thinking, what the heck is this guy doing? Like, you're an idiot. Do you know what I mean? I may as well be honest and just give my opinion. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think we've got to be like, I think we've all got to be honest with each other on this. When Callum, you told me I was an absolute idiot for doing strides when I could barely walk just because I thought, I'll be all right. Like maybe it's just a bit tight. Like I think we've got to have accountability with each other. And you know, when people are listening and stuff, I think it's healthy to have these sorts of difficult conversations about it all. So I'd last thing on it, Ben. Like I know you're saying like listening to your body and all that kind of stuff, but who are you like getting that sort of advice from in terms of like moving on to the next step and how much of the run walk stuff you should be doing? Because I know with if you've got a cold, like Callum, you say you've got a bit of a cold at the minute, like listening to your body, you know that if running faster feels a bit shit, you can just run a bit slower. But if you've got a bone stress injury that you can't see, the only way to know whether it's actually better is getting a second clear MRI scan, or giving yourself beyond reasonable doubt enough time that it's, you know, the bone should have healed in that time frame, because that's how bones heal, if that makes sense. So how are you making those decisions as to what level of cross training is okay, like what return to run program is best for you, and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, so I've had a with Rose, and she said based off my symptoms, like 90 minutes of cross training was absolutely fine to be doing. She also said like bone's going to take at least 6 weeks to heal in terms of being fully recovered. So I'm kind of taking that as like there's no rush back into it, like just let things settle down. I've also been having physio appointments here in Kenya. Obviously I don't know how, like I haven't had access to like you said, getting a scan and on the affected area, but I've been having chats with the local physios here, and based on like symptoms and stuff like that, like he was like, oh yeah, you probably can get running again in the next couple of weeks, like if you're not in any pain, like then there's no reason why you can't start running on softer surfaces and stuff like that. So it has been difficult. I'm getting like various different messages from different people, and yeah, just deciding to kind of not go solo, but I'm taking advice and then applying it to how I'm feeling. So yeah, I guess that kind of answers that a little bit.
Yeah. And my thing is like why I love the podcast is because like everything we say we can be held account to. Do you know what I mean? So like I'm saying all this stuff now as the person who's not injured, knowing farewell that when it is my turn to be injured or ill or whatever, like I can't come on here and say, well, I can come on here and say, and rightly will be told, hang on a minute, but you said we should do this. Do you know what I mean? And then I'll be like, oh, you know what? Right. Like when I was in a sound mind or was thinking logically, I said, Ben, there's no way you should run at this, or Tom, you shouldn't do this, whatever. Like, I like the fact that it's providing us some accountability to then be like, you know, a bit like Ben with the Hoka, with the Oxford half marathon or whatever. In hindsight, you did say you were like, yeah, actually, probably wasn't the best idea to run that, but this is the reason I made the decisions. Live and learn. Probably won't do it again. Like, now you won't do that again in the future. Do you know what I mean? Or hopefully you won't. So, I think it's like, everyone's going to have their own opinions on what you should and shouldn't do, but ultimately you're the only person that is going to have to suffer or the risks or the rewards, you know what I mean? Like you're the one that has the consequences, whether it's good or bad. So ultimately, as long as you think you're making the right decision, it doesn't really matter what anyone else thinks, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But people just know that people only have your best interest. No one's trying to slag you off or be like, you're such an idiot. It's all from a place of, maybe just, you know, have a second thought or whatever. But yeah, good on you. And I'm glad ultimately that it's moving in the right direction. That's a good thing.
Yeah, definitely.
To end it on a positive note as well, I think you're like the way that you've just adapted, like the sort of content that you make and the way that it's sort of been a very seamless, well, it's felt just from the outside looking in at like the stuff that you're putting out there into the world wide web. It's been quite a seamless transition, and you've sort of just gone from, you know, running decently high volume, big sessions to making videos about strength training and, you know, like your 10 marathon piece that you did and all that kind of stuff. Like, I think, yeah, can't do anything but commend you from a mental standpoint as to how you've dealt with it all. You've not been down in the dumps. You've not just, you know, gone, oh, fuck it. What's the point of making videos if it's not all about me and my sessions? So I think from that standpoint in particular, yeah, it's been pretty admirable to see how you've sort of dealt with this whole thing.
Yeah, I guess it kind of comes back to like the goals and aspirations I have for myself. Like I don't see myself as a recreational runner anymore. Like I have goals of running like 2:18 for the marathon, eventually low 2:10s. Like I want to get to that level and I'm prepared to sort of to do the work to get there. And I know 20 weeks from going from stress fracture to running your next marathon does seem like pretty crazy for most people, or it would be out of the realm of even thinking about it for most people. But I feel like it's just the way I approach my training, the way I see things progressing over the next few years. It's like, I just want to do everything that I can to get there. So if it means at the moment I have to spend 16 hours in the gym doing cross training just to maintain some level of fitness so that when I come back I can still even dream of running like a 218 marathon, then that's just what I'm going to do. I know it's not necessarily like textbook, and I certainly wouldn't be like, oh yeah, this is what you should do if you get a stress fracture. Like, I don't know. It has been tough, I'm not going to lie, but I've been keeping positive, listen to my body. I'm all good, so I'm going to crack on, basically.
Fair enough. Sounds good, mate. Sounds good. Yeah, exciting to follow the journey.
But yeah, we'll see. Sorry if that turned into a bit of a down in the dumps section.
No, of course. No, not at all, mate. It's what we want, a bit of passion.
Yeah.
That's what we're here for. You just told the world you're running low 210s, so I'm excited for the journey.
Eventually, yeah. There's no reason why I shouldn't.
Yeah, I mean, you've got 12, 15
You need to get
years,
a coach. You need to reckon, get. Yeah. You need to get a coach for sure.
Yeah.
Like, no, genuinely.
Yeah.
No, like, genuinely, you're not going to self-coach yourself to low 210s. That's like,
no.
I'm all for dreaming on this podcast, but that's absolutely, like,
I don't mean low 210s. I mean, like, below 218. I'm getting to 218, and then I'm going to keep cracking. That's not going to be the limit, basically.
Yeah, got you. 100%, mate. 100%. You definitely can do that. Right, well, I think that was a really productive little training.
I don't even know if I got through my week.
Oh,
I think
sorry,
I did.
Mate, sorry.
No, I don't.
Yeah, I
think
remember.
I did.
I can't remember either. No, yeah, you must have done. You must have done. Otherwise, we wouldn't have gone into such a big old tangent, would we? I don't think.
Who knows? That's this podcast for you. But
Yeah.
Class stuff. Well, we actually took quite a long time on that. I don't know if there's anything. There was some other stuff on the show notes, but I think we might be able to get away with that just being a bit of a training episode, honestly. And I do also have another call to get on after I've eaten my lunch, which may or may not be an ulterior motive for what I'm saying.
Have you got time for listening to questions?
Yeah,
I could probably do like another 10 minutes or so, but running news wise, New York Marathon, that's been and gone. You know, no, I'm sure everybody who cares about that already knows what happened. And yeah, the other stuff is not necessarily vital to talk about, is it really? So
not really, no.
Yeah.
Got time for some listener questions?
We can do listen. Yeah. The first listener question, by the way, I've already spoken to this guy personally as well. So I'm intrigued to get your thoughts, lads.
All right.
Should we kickstart with that one then?
Shall I ask the question then? Because I've already given him, I've spoken to him on Instagram before, so you guys can give him your opinion. This is from Zahair. 13-year-old marathon runner from Bangladesh, planning on running another marathon in February. He was wondering if running his fourth marathon in 6 months could be having a negative effect on his body. He's 13.
Hello, Zuhair. If you're is this a real person, Callum? Can you confirm that this is a genuine human being?
If I've been trolled, right, then
well done.
Then well done, because the account is fantastic.
Oh wow.
And his dad coaches him, by the way. His dad like tells him it's absolutely fine to do what he's doing and stuff.
He's taken a leaf out of my book, I reckon.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, funnily enough, I met a 13-year-old kid at this Puma event last night. Very good runner, like 17:30 something for 5K at 13 years old. And he's for contrast, he's running about a marathon a week in terms of overall mileage. So I'd say four marathons in 6 months could maybe have a negative effect on a 13-year-old's body.
On anyone, on anyone, four marathons is way too much to do in 6 months. Like, if you look at the top level marathon runners in the world, they only do like marathons
a year. Yeah.
So that would be a little bit of a red flag. Four marathons in 6 months I would definitely say is a little bit too much. And at 13 years old, obviously your body's still developing, so there's no need really to be doing that level of racing, especially over the longer distance. I mean, it's a tough one. If he's enjoying it, then fair play to him. But
fuck off!
Oh no!
Listen,
If someone gets
Zahair,
to 13
what,
years
what
old,
what I'll say is Zahair, legend. Like any 13-year-old that can run 26 miles once, like unreal. You clearly are disciplined, motivated, talented. Like all the positive things, and I'm sure you're a great person, and you can probably be a fantastic athlete. You were going to ruin your own chances of being a fantastic athlete if you continue to do four marathons every 6 months. Instead, apply that same hunger and tenacity to some more focused training, join an athletics club, get a coach, do that sort of thing. And I've got no doubt you could be an amazing 5K, 10K runner and then build yourself up to marathons and be one of those people who, you know, is just a machine over the longer distances, because surely there's no 13-year-olds that are keeping up with you if you're running marathons, you know, every month, essentially. But you, mate, you're going to just break your legs. That's as simple as that. You can't be doing that.
13-year-old wonder kid.
Yeah.
In, no, unless good you're advice.
To be fair, he didn't say how fast he's doing them.
Yeah.
So, you know, if he's doing 220, then fair enough. I'll eat my hat.
Yeah, keep going, mate. It's an interesting question, though. I didn't expect to get something like that come through the emails. But yeah, 13-year-old, and he's already done 4 marathons. So. Wow.
Have they messaged you directly, Callum, or is this
No. I'm pretty sure I replied on my own account. Yeah. Oh. Sometimes get confused that. I'll try and find it.
Yeah. I was just hoping we had a 13-year-old from Bangladesh listening to the podcast, because that'd be pretty wacky, wouldn't it?
Yeah. No. They've messaged the podcast because I didn't.
Oh, right.
I didn't add that question. Ben, you added that question, didn't you?
Yeah. I think that's come through the email.
Yeah. Wow. So they definitely listened to the pod. Yeah.
Yeah, well, in that case, big up Bangladesh and all of our Bangladeshi listeners, eh?
Yeah, and good. And maybe we can come and pace you at the Bangabandhu Marathon in February. Ben, cancel Seville. Cancel Seville, boy.
Ben's going to win it. Ben's going to win the Bangabandhu Marathon in February.
Ben, that video would absolutely pop off. I accidentally won the Bangabandhu Dhaka Marathon 2024.
Do you have any idea, like, the views you would get on that?
Oh, yeah, it'd be unreal.
It'd be insane.
Did you know that 30% of my YouTube audience is from India?
Yeah, you know,
it writes itself, this stuff. I know. Get yourself on the plane.
Isn't Chopra the most followed international athlete, the javelin thrower from India? He is, isn't he?
Really?
Chopra's got more followers than Jakob and everyone, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's factual.
He's got 7.4 million followers, Indian javelin thrower.
That's incredible.
Yeah, Chopra, because the scale is just so big. Shout out
He's probably a micro-influencer in India. With that level. Only million, not billions.
Shout out, Chopper. Big up.
I bet he eats a lot of bagels. He eats a fair share of bagels, I reckon.
Oh,
Chopper.
Yeah. At least three. Yeah. Good morning. My laptop has just died on me, so if there's any other list of questions, you're going to have to fire through those, because I don't know what they are.
I'll read one. This is from Jonty. This is a good question. Out of us three, who would win in a four-limbed 400-meter race? I.e. hands on the floor and feet on the floor.
Like a dog. I've got no idea.
I think Ben.
Why Ben?
Because I imagine Ben is the sort of guy who just runs around like that for fun at home.
Yeah.
Yeah, up and down the stairs.
Yeah, up and down the stairs.
I've got a Kenyan core now as well, so.
Yeah.
That's definitely going to help me.
I reckon he's longer limbed as well, I reckon, than me and you, Callum. I reckon his arms are probably, he's got more reach.
Yeah, I think I've got strong shoulders, but I think ultimately my arms are small. So like, I wouldn't have a problem supporting my own weight, but my like steps would be so small because my arms are tiny.
I actually don't know if I would win it, actually, because I've got an injury from when I played rugby as a kid that my left arm doesn't rotate anymore. So I don't actually know if I can run on all hands and knees, if that makes sense.
It's not your knees, it's your feet.
Not my feet, my hands. I couldn't run on my hands because my left hand doesn't rotate like that anymore.
Oh, well,
because I broke my bone and then it didn't heal properly. So I'm basically wouldn't be able to do it, I don't think.
I think I'm back in the running.
I think Tom's back in the running.
Yeah, I'd give it a bloody good go. Next time we're all in the same place at the same time. Who knows when that will be? We should actually probably do it, shouldn't we?
One of us is definitely getting injured.
I've also just thought, remember a couple of episodes ago, we promised we were going to talk the listeners through your tattoos, Ben?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So Ben, don't do them all, but can you just pick like one of your tattoos, please, and tell us about it? This is from Jack. He says, can Ben talk us through each of his tattoos? So
Can we have one tattoo an episode?
Yeah, can you just pick one? And I want to know what it is, roughly, where you got it, and what the inspiration/meaning is.
Okay, so we'll start with the first tattoo that I got, and it says Copenhagen 228. So any guesses to what that one means?
Oh, I don't know.
No, I ain't got a clue.
My first marathon in Copenhagen. So Copenhagen in Danish is Copenhagen, and then 228 was the time I ran. There we go. That's my first tattoo.
Nice.
Tune in next week for the next one.
Yeah, I'm excited.
What a great segment, eh?
I'm excited for the next one. And I guess final question, lads. No women in iron on this. Just give me one answer and a little explanation from Robbie. The best easy day shoe out there at the moment.
Well, not even close for me. The New Balance 1080 V13. Whoa, fuck me. What a shoe.
I'd stick with a Monster, mate. That's still my favourite. Can't see past it.
How mad is it that there's nearly been as many New Balance 1080s as has iPhones?
Yeah.
I've still not run in one yet. I've not tried one yet.
No, get that new one on your trolley.
I don't think I've tried one either.
Well,
I'm not sure I like the look of it, really. It looks a bit... I don't know.
If it's a good shoe, then
I'll give it a go.
I don't know what my answer is, honestly. I'm going to have to walk and look at what shoes I've been running in. Hold on.
Isn't it the Forever Run thing? The Puma one you always...
Yeah, but it says right now. I've not been running in it for a while since my last pair broke.
Then Piano 30s you've been wearing a fair bit, haven't you? But you can't say that, surely.
Stability.
Yeah, but I'll level you. None of my shoes right now are very good. they're all just okay. Like Pegasus, okay. Bondi, okay. Those Asics ones, okay. Alex has got a pair of Cliftons.
Maybe
they're the best shoe right now. But yeah, unfortunately.
What's Alice done to herself?
Oh yeah, she's crippled.
Oh, mate, this is for next. Yeah. This is for next week's episode.
Oh, okay.
This is for next week's episode, along with
knee brace thing. Looks gnarly. I want one of those.
Yeah, it's actually not. It's not as bad as it looks. To be fair, she just fell over playing netball, banged her knee, and then the next day woke up and just couldn't move at all. Like no weight on it whatsoever. Extreme pain. So went hospital and got an X-ray. Got an X-ray. No like bone damage, but they reckon she's like ruptured one of her ligaments on the outside of her leg or something, so she just got a brace for a little bit. But they literally said it could be like fine within a week or it could be fine within 6 weeks. You don't really know. You just got to test it. And
that sounds familiar.
So yeah, that's that. The other story, you have to remember me for next episode because I've really got to go now. The story about the Ryanair passenger that I saw dismantle his own suitcase.
What
the fuck was that all about?
That was on Sunday night at the airport. So it was basically Monday morning because it was very late. So we'll save that for next episode.
Oh, what a
lunatic.
What a bloke.
Yeah. And if anyone out there has got if anyone out there has got any other airline stories that are particularly funny or notable, send them in because we can do a little airline segment next episode.
Yeah, that'd be good. It'd be nice to get some new listener questions in as well, freshen things up a little bit. So drop us a message on the old Instagram, I reckon. That'd be nice.
Yeah, shout out. Right, boys, it's 2 p.m, so I've really got to fly. But
yeah, mate.
Yeah, 5 p.m. for you, mate. I'm sure you've got another 24 hours of cross training to do before Sunday. So.
I was only going to do 30 minutes, but I think I might bump it up to 90.
Yeah, maybe do some blindfolded juggling or something for your mental resilience as well. Your race tactics.
Go kick a tree. Chance. Right. Yeah. Okay.
Right.
See you later,
boys. Great episode, listeners. Thank you for listening. Give us a ranking on Spotify, ideally 5 stars, and we'll see you in the next one.
Yeah,
sounds good to me.
Ben, what's your saying?
Aspire to run, to inspire.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, the boys.
See you soon. I've got that tattooed on my left bum cheek.